Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That reading is from Philippians chapter 2. It's our appointed epistle for the day, and we'll get there in just a little while in our service. Today we are doing a few things different. We've moved that epistle to the time of Thanksgiving, leading into the service of the sacrament. Of course, you know, we've also seen something different already. Thank you for waving palm branches. I see no one's been injured or stabbed by our palm branches. That's great. You've done well. Today, as we got to see this wonderful procession following the cross on our way into church, laying our palms before the altar, before the place where we receive Jesus' body and blood, before the cross where we see a depiction of him crucified for us. Today, as we have this great Palm Sunday, we begin our Holy Week. We begin the week in the church year that is really the most holy as far as what we're doing and what we're talking about, how we're trying to show what Christ has done for us. This week is the week we remember all of the works of Jesus Christ coming to its full fruition. On Thursday, we'll experience what it was like to be at his Last Supper, to have him give this new and wonderful gift that we call communion. On Friday, in darkness, we experience and consider just how awful it was that Jesus died on the cross, and yet how good it is that he did that for us, which is why we call it Good Friday. And then on Easter, we'll celebrate the fact that he is resurrected, that he has risen from the grave, and he's defeated death itself. And all of that begins with today, Palm Sunday, the day we remember that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem, knowing what was coming, having people shout, "Hosanna, save us," and not understand that he was coming there to do that and what that would actually look like. As they laid their palm branches out before him to cover the road, to keep the dust off of him, to show that they were giving him respect and honor and glory, they were giving him indeed this glory that would come from man, an understanding of what glory would look like for mankind. To say, well, we'll keep the dust off of you, we'll keep you clean, we'll shout Hosanna, we'll usher you into the city, come on in, this is the great city of God, come and lead us here. They are doing right, they think, by God. They are doing right by Jesus, who they indeed are shouting, save us to. But they just didn't have quite the same vision of what they were looking for, or what Jesus was going to be providing. You see, they were looking for what glory they could give to Jesus, expecting that Jesus would be this glorified man reigning in Jerusalem as this new and wonderful king, a new David, far greater than before. The Romans would be kicked out. They would be ruling it all. It would be wonderful. It would be just like it was back in the Old Testament days, even better. But again, as they're doing these things, honoring Jesus, he's not looking for glory and honor that would come from them. He's looking for the glory that the Father would give him soon. In the end of our gospel reading from John 12, we heard that these people who were glorifying Jesus, but would not necessarily come forward and call him the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah. We hear in the last two verses, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. They're willing to honor Jesus and show respect, but they're still looking for the glory of man being seen as right and good in their society. But as I read for you for already from Philippians chapter 2, and as we'll get to have soon, Jesus knew that in not glorifying himself, in not showing his godliness and his power before these people, rather coming out of heaven, being born as a man and humbling himself, being obedient to death, even death on a cross, being lifted up before all people with shame seen on his body, with bruises, cuts, with a crown of thorns, being stripped of his clothes, not receiving any glory before man, but only shame and suffering. In that moment, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. At the beginning of this season of Lent, the first message actually was talking about the theology of glory versus the theology of the cross. Where do we find true glory? Where do we find true honor? It's not in glorifying ourselves or looking good before others. We see true glory, true honor, the highest name at the cross where Jesus died for you and for me, taking on the shame and the punishment that should be our own. He received the greatest glory that there could ever be, being the Savior of the whole world. Now, many of you don't know this story. I've shared it with some of you, probably some of you a couple of times, so for this moment you can just turn off your mind a little bit if you've heard it three or four times. But this day for me, Palm Sunday, is a pretty special day. What I just shared for you from Philippians chapter 2 happens to be one of my favorite sections in all of Scripture. Back when I was a DCE doing youth group all the time, I'd start off every school year reading this to our youth group kids and walking them through it. You see, right before the reading we have, Paul says, I want all of you to be like-minded, have the same mind as Jesus, that you would humble yourself before God, being obedient to God, the same way that Christ was obedient for you and gave up his life for you. So as one who's saved by Jesus, have the same mind. Don't look to glorify yourself, but humble yourself. And God will glorify you the way that he glorified Jesus, your Savior, through humility before God. You will be exalted. You will be lifted up by him. Now, I shared this every year with the youth group kids. And then on the Palm Sunday, the first time I ever preached a sermon, it made it pretty easy for me. I was very thankful because, you see, this Philippians 2 reading is used every Palm Sunday. I actually didn't know that until the day that I preached, because I found out that day that Pastor Andy, my pastor at the time in Chino Hills, California, he gave me a phone call in the morning, and he said something I've heard him say before many times. He had already been telling me, so, Jesse, when are you going to let me teach you how to preach? I think you'd be a great pastor. And I said, well, no, that's your job, Pastor Andy. And I said that to him for 2 years. Every so often, when are you going to let me teach you how to preach? Well, no, Pastor Andy, that's your job. Now then, he called me on Palm Sunday about 9 years ago, and he said, he called me on the phone about an hour before church, and he said, so, Jesse, are you ready for your first sermon today? I said, no, Pastor Andy, that's your job. And he said, well, I'm in the ER, would you reconsider? Yes, sir, what do you need? And so, now for you who don't know him the way I do, English is not his first or even second language. He spoke Mandarin far before he spoke English, and he still writes his sermons out in Mandarin, and then he memorizes them in English. So I couldn't just borrow his sermon. That would have been really awful for all of us. And to stand there very confused. So I said, don't worry, I'll find out what the readings are. You just take care of yourself. And I looked at the readings, now 55 minutes before church, And I saw that, oh, the epistle reading is Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. My favorite section of scripture. Something I've written a 20-page paper on. Something I've taught youth group kids for years. Something that has been personally wonderful to me. Okay, God, maybe I'll listen. Thanks for throwing me a softball on my first time. So even though I only had about an hour's preparation for doing a sermon that day, I had had quite a bit more time already, in fact. I've always loved just seeing that turn of situation that God did with Jesus Christ, saying that as he was lifted up on the cross, humiliated before the whole world, which was his plan in the first place, he had humbled himself even to this point, the most humiliating position he could find himself in. That was the plan all along. That was the plan ever since back in the Garden of Eden, Satan had, by one tree, deceived Adam and Eve and brought sin into the world, which we'll say in the proper preface later. By one tree, Satan helped usher in sin and death. By one tree, Jesus Christ defeated sin and death. By being raised up on the cross, the punishment for what happened back in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 was fully erased for you and for me. We are saved because on the cross, in Jesus' humiliation, he actually was exalted and glorified as the Savior of all who would believe in him. I love that. I hope you do too. I think it's great. I think it's just the best stuff. And so 9 years ago, I knew what I was going to preach about, just like I knew what I was going to preach about today. The fact that Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross is not humiliation. In his humbleness, the reason that we have crosses all over is because we know just how wonderful it is for us that Jesus defeated death. He did it not in a way that would seem like glory and honor to those around him, but he did it in the way that was necessary. Dying a full, painful, separating from God consequence, feeling the full weight of sin on his shoulders, he was able to bear it. He was able to defeat it. And death could not hold him. And that's why a week from now, we will be celebrating and saying the word that starts A-L-L and continues E-L-U-I-A that I'm not supposed to be saying yet. We'll get there next week. It'll be great. We'll be shouting for joy because our Savior who died on the cross did not stay dead. He did what no one else could. By taking the weight of the sin on himself, he took on the full punishment, but then rose from the grave and indeed was exalted to the highest place, that every name, given the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's pretty wonderful to hear. In fact, I should wrap this sermon up so we can get there and say it all together. But one more thing. Earlier in our reading in John chapter 12, the first time that you joined me in saying Jesus' words, in verse 26, Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." By one tree where Jesus was lifted up, we are saved. By the laying down of our palm branches, symbolically so, we are laying ourselves down before the cross as well. When we come and humble ourselves and lay ourselves at the foot of the cross, at his altar, where we receive his great blessings of his body and blood, when we come to God in humility, God lifts us up. He gives you that same name. When we say that Jesus Christ's life has been given for you, you have been given the name of Jesus Christ. that name that is above every name, that's given to you also. When we come before God, seeking not to glorify ourselves, but in gratitude saying, thank you for all that you've done, he lifts us up and he gives us life eternal. He gives you victory over death and the devil. He gives you what Christ has earned, a seat at his table in heaven, a place in your eternal home. So as we do advance in our service, as we do approach Easter, know that all of this, all of our procession, all of the singing, all of this wonderful things, all these wonderful things we do in church, it all serves to direct our minds and our attention towards what Christ has done for us on the cross, that we might come in humility saying, God, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. And that he would lift us up and say, you are forgiven. You are my own. You are my child. You have my name. This promise is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen. Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restores our life. Hosanna in the highest. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.